CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday. It's just after 6 o'clock, wintry morning. And we've got two of the superstars with us this morning. We have Simpiu Mtetwa, who is in the darkest room in the whole world. And and Mashane, who is with us in the studio at Cliff Central. So they're both at the studios, but Simpiu is in the dark, dangerous room where only serial killers live, at the far end of the office. Yes.
And then there was light.
And then there's light. How did you do that? You suddenly made it light in your background. Now we can see this stuff happening. It looked like you were in like a black velvet cube.
A lady never kisses and towels, Gareth. Oh, but just know that I can make it a bit darker.
This is one of your secrets. Is this what you do in your boudoir as well?
I mean, guys, what fun would it be if I told you everything? You know, if I let you guys in on how I get things done in the office.
Yeah. Yeah, I sense there is a lot going on here that Simpiu is not telling us about. All right, it is...
The ended camera.
So I got to get this right off my chest straight away. Yesterday, I bought a couple of things, like household stuff that I needed on one of these online shopping sites, right? And then they ask you, when you're checking out, they're like, and do you want to donate, I don't know, 10, 20 rand or whatever it was, to some poor orphan child who desperately needs your help? And I'm like, oh, Jesus, this is like emotional blackmail, right? This is what they're doing. Mm. It's the same. I haven't been to KFC for years, but the last time I was there, they're like, and would you like to add 2 rand for hope? And you go, no. And then you feel like, oh, if I say no, then I'm the worst person in the world. So they guilt you in to like giving money. And I'm like, I shouldn't feel guilty. As taxpayers, which we all are, we're all paying for someone else's children anyway. Why should I be feeling guilty?
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, would you like to add hope to help a starving child? And you're like, oh.
Call that child, I'll eat with them.
So I just needed to ask you guys, I mean, do you respond to this kind of thing? When people try to blackmail you into feeling bad, when you don't really feel bad, like if you are buying yourself some greasy, oily, dirty chicken because you just need an upper, you need like something to make the day better after a long, hectic day, because let's say that's what you do. That's your way you treat yourself or whatever. And let's say you go online and you don't have a whole lot of money in the bank, but you're like, I'm gonna buy myself something nice here on this this online shopping site. And then they say, oh, but don't you want to help someone who's less privileged than you? It's really it's mean, right? Mm-hmm. It's wrong of them to do that to us.
Yeah.
It's wrong, but they've been doing it for so many years that I think we've gotten desensitized to it at this point. Between KFC, the online shopping retailers, every single 5 seconds, every time you want to check out, buy something, it's all up in your face. And it's been happening for so long that I think nobody cares anymore at this point. People just scroll right past.
Well, obviously you don't mind.
That's what I do.
Mash, you
oh,
don't.
I also don't.
And you don't either, Simpiu. You're tough as nails, both of you. Yeah. You're like, give it to me.
I smile. I will be like, no, thank you. God bless you. Amen.
Yes, already, you don't,
we already know we're going to hell.
You're okay with going to hell, like, here?
Especially you. No, I'm not going to hell, guys. I'm a very nice person. But I just, I do have boundaries. And I don't think my giving needs to be done when I'm buying food for me, myself, and I. You know, I'm trying to get through the day. I'm trying to be unhealthy. I'm just trying to be happy. And then there you are. Oh, they're starving kids. Yes, I know. I'll help them one day, someday, but not at this moment. I'm sorry. Oh. God bless you, though.
Well,
have a good day.
Well, yeah. So you respond like you're all happy. You're like, oh, have a nice day. Because Robert says here, I say no thank you as if it was an offer for something like extra fries on the side. Like, no, thank you. Is that what you do?
Yes. And you keep it moving. And then you pay and you're like, how much is that? Thank you. Just always have a smile. Always have a smile. Because they also do this pause thing. They'll be like, do you want to donate R2? No.
Yeah, they judge.
My answer's not going to change.
Yeah, but then in that second they're judging you. They're like, "Oh, you that kind of selfish son of a bitch." But you guys are not. Yes, you're not moved. You don't feel bad. All right. So how about the guys at the traffic lights?
Not at all.
How about the ones who dance on the crates?
They get me sometimes.
How about those guys? The guys who dance.
They never get me.
Mash's face.
They do make me feel some type of way.
Mash doesn't care. Look.
People dance just as well at the clubs, and we ain't giving them money. So
no, you're not giving them money. They're people. They're making it rain. They're making it pour. You know, I do feel a bit bad, especially if I've just woken out of like KFC. I have food, and then they're like, "Oh, can I just have something to eat?" And then you're like. Nothing. Sorry.
Here's the line. Robert's just reminded me that when they go, how many hungry children would you like to feed today? Yeah, that's a horrible line.
Zero.
You just say zero.
Yeah.
Just say zero. Oh, just say I'm also an hungry child, so I want to feed myself first. At this point. But I've been quite desensitized over the years because I used to take taxis for quite some time. Mm. And in taxis, you'd always get those beggars at the taxi ranks who come up to the taxi and start begging while you guys are sitting in the taxi. And you're like, all of us here only have 10 rands or 20 rands, our money for this taxi. Yeah. So, of course, none of us have extra cash or extra change to give to you. And these guys would come with the most craziest stories, such as, oh, my mom and dad died, so I don't have any parents. I'm like, half the people in here don't have parents, y'all. What do you mean? What do you mean? So, that's not going to cut it for me. My sympathy points have gone down drastically. Unless that child is here and I'm going to feed them right here, I am not giving anything to charity, like during purchasing.
Well, Tato says, share, like, and subscribe for hope.
Give this video a thumbs up, guys. Yeah, there we go. At least. That's the least you can do.
Right.
Just thumbs up.
Okay, so we don't have to feel bad about that because have you noticed also tipping has become a big thing? Like, I've always tipped waiters. I when I have money, I tip the guys at the petrol station.
You do that? I've always wanted to. I've never gone to that point where I'm like, yeah, sure, my brother.
Well, it's not automatic, right?
So
it depends. They've got to, if they wash your windscreen or they offer to check your tires or oil and water, then you tip them because they're doing more than the cost of the petrol covers. But
yeah.
If they don't...
Oh, that's not like just basic service. So like every time I've kind of been mad that no one's offered to wash my window, that's just me being extra.
How do you even tip them? Most of us actually swipe. You ask them to add that to
That's
that.
Why I'm saying if I've got cash on me, you can't add that to your petrol bill. I think you probably could, but I don't know how. So I suppose you do it like you do in a restaurant. You just... put extra on the tab, maybe, but I usually pay them a tip in cash. And if I don't have the cash, and I always say to them, especially if they've done all that stuff for me, I'm like, thank you very much. I'm sorry, I don't have any cash on me now, next time. And they're always like, cool, next time. Well, occasionally there's one who's like, screw you kind of thing. You know, they look at you like, then I wouldn't offer to wash your windscreen.
True. I was always skeptical also about actually tipping them by adding to the cost of the petrol. Reason being, I don't know if they'll get the money. That's one thing I really fear. That what if they don't get the money? What if the money's just gone and then they never actually... Because you don't write it anywhere. You don't write gratitude anywhere when buying petrol.
Right.
So they might not even ever get that money. Just like the workers at Amy's Bakery. That bakery that I was on Dr. C a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
employees never got their tips.
They never got their tips. She took all the money. Remember that?
Yeah.
Stone Philosopher says, giving money to beggars promotes begging. Ooh, I've heard that before, but you know what?
It's a whole business, though.
It is. I mean,
it's a whole business. They can make up to 500 rand a day. And you know, once upon a time, I calculated and I was like, shucks, that's quite a lot of money, right? Mm. And it's like they have like, just like, you know, the drug lords have their corners, mm-hmm. and they have certain people pushing products. It's the same way with begging. There's people out there at specific corners, mm-hmm. and when you give them money, they actually don't get it. It goes back to the mastermind behind it.
Is there a bus?
And they keep all the profits.
There's a bus who's in, yeah. in charge. Yeah, you see, I don't want to think mm-hmm. about this too much.
So that's why there's people always there. It's a huge business, begging.
I will give if I have the money. And some days I'm feeling very generous and there'll be some cash lying around and I'll be like, here we go. But other days I'm like, keep the window up. But I'm never like horrible. I never go, ah, fuck off when they come up to the car or anything, because I've seen people doing that. I'm always like, no thanks, sorry, don't have any cash, whatever. You know, hand gestures and stuff.
Can I tell you the worst ones are the ones who clean your windows.
Oh, I hate those the ones who
just come up to your window
because you can't stop them. You're like, no, please, I've just cleaned the car.
And they're like, no, please.
Straight away.
They just all over the window.
No.
All over the window. And then if you don't give them money sometimes, if you're one of the unlucky ones, then they'll spray some oil on your windscreen so that you can't see.
Oh my God, have they done that to you before?
What?
No, I've heard stories. It's never happened to me. Thank goodness.
Ooh.
I would be mad. I'd be big. Someone's getting a beating. I'm getting out that car. And no, you can't do that. You cannot do that.
That's not right.
No. I've never fought a day in my life, but I would do that. I would definitely fight them. If you put oil on my windscreen, unprovoked, because I don't have money. It's not your money, Chief. Relax.
You become a street fighter that day.
Yes.
Sure.
Dog also says, I give nobody cash. Guys dancing at the traffic lights always target my car for some reason, he says.
What car you drive?
Maybe it's because you drive a nice car. G-Star says, a simple no will suffice. I don't owe anyone anything. Sorry, my tax money gets stolen every month. Sorry, I don't have any cash for charity. Okay, well, that's
makes sense.
Hardcore, but okay.
Fair enough.
Adele says, in Thailand, in one of the street markets where you buy meter-long ribs worth the money, there's a sign that says, no tips allowed. That felt good.
Oh, wow.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. The petrol attendants earn very little, so if the person gives you good service, give a little love, says Vyasin. Yeah, I feel that way. If I've got the money, I do. And Dogoza says also, I've always tipped waiters once because I was a waiter part-time in high school. You see, I think people who've been a waiter have more sympathy for waiters because they also know that you know, for every customer that tips, there's one that's just an asshole. And there are a lot of those people like, I'm sorry, I didn't order that. And there's too much fat on this thing. And I don't like the look of
shut
this
up, Becky.
Lettuce.
Just and, shut up.
Exactly. I mean, you know,
just shut up.
There's people
can't handle rude people. Just shut up.
But if you've got
but honestly, some waiters don't deserve a tip.
Yeah? No, a lot of them don't. You're probably right. I think waiters are pretty much, there's an automatic 10% for me. You get more than that if you do a good job. But that's the only job that I can think of is automatic tip.
Yeah, I've had an experience once upon a time where I actually went to a Spur in Clarksdorp, and I was alone. It was after a long day of just being at the mall, running some errands, and I thought, let me just treat myself, you know? I go to the Spur, I get there, and as soon as I get to the door, I'm like, actually, the waiter's like to me, table for two? I'm like, no, for one. Mm-hmm. And this girl actually giggles.
Wow, that's not like, nice.
And I'm like, oh, okay. So she walks me to a table and I'm like, no, can I have one by the booth? She's like, okay. And she gives me all sorts of attitude. She's pulling faces, she's giggling and all that kind of stuff. And I was already put off. So when I ordered, I was like, can I have a gin and tonic? It's been a long day. I just need to unwind a bit. And then cool, she brings my gin and tonic. When my drink arrives, she asks me, what would you like to eat? I say, you know what? Let me treat myself. I'd like some dessert. I'd like a waffle with some ice cream. Mm-hmm. And she's like, gin and tonic with the dessert. And I'm like,
she's
yes,
super judgy,
gin and tonic with
dessert. Like, hold on, honey. I mean, you're only waitressing at Spur. You're not at like the Jean-Georges in, you know, New York City. So calm down.
Exactly. I was like, you're not at the Pilazzi or something. Mm. So give me my damn ice cream and waffle and let me just get tipsy here with my G&T. She was very judgy. And after that, I was just like, the bill was like 90 Rand or something. And I was like, you know what? Let me tip her 9 Rand. That's 10% and I'm out of here.
Right. No, good for you. Because that's fair. You know, she had attitude, but then maybe, yeah. I mean, I can't imagine you would be if you were a waiter and I would have made a terrible waiter. I was a waiter for one day and I was useless. But like Mash, you would have been one of those waiters with attitude as well. You would have been like judgy with people. I would have
smacked someone. I would have
can't tolerate rudeness. We cannot. Mm. I think the first rude customer that you get is the one I would have been like, oh, somebody hold the front door. Like, who do you think you're talking to like that? Excuse me? Like, And also, I could see
Simpiri like unclipping her earrings, like getting ready for a fight. Like, excuse me, ma'am. What did you say?
Why are you rude? Why are you rude? Like, I'm sorry. Didn't your parents teach you manners? This is not how you teach to be. Like, that's my thing. And I feel like I'm also passive aggressive. So I think even if I don't outright say that you're rude, I think I'll be like, you know,
every time you turn around, you'll just turn around saying bitch to every customer, like bitch. Every time you turn around.
Like, and then she's going to be like, you have people that are like, oh, I'm on a diet, but I want a waffle and whatnot. I'm like, girl, you ain't on no diet, but here you go. You know, and keep it moving. But people are rude out there. And I think that's the thing. Sometimes they need a nice cup just to remind them that this is the world. Can't be rude to everyone.
I feel like Gareth is a waiter. Would just be him, I think, perhaps maybe fat shaming the fat people.
If they ordered like 2 kilograms like, of ribs, sure? I'd be like,
yeah.
Oh, 2 kilograms.
Don't you want to make that a
salad? Don't you want to cut that down a bit?
So I'll tell you straight up, I'm not cut out for the service industry. And there's no way, I would make no tips because people would hate me and I would hate the job. And I'm not very good at that whole, like, hi, what can I get you today stuff. I'm not interested in people, like people pleasing and that kind of thing. So you need a certain personality. And let me just put it this way. I've never been rude to a waiter. I've never, if a place has bad service or they're rude to me or whatever, I just won't go there again. But I never make a scene. Contrary to the way that I talk about stuff on the show, I'm quite quiet and polite in public. I don't make a big noise. I don't draw a huge amount of attention to myself. I would never say to a waiter, oh, you know, yeah, I like your uniform, or one of those corny jokes that so many people make. Or, you know, when they're trying to be funny, but the waiter's like, just please, I'm here to do a job. Don't complicate my day. What do you want to order? But you know how they're like, thanks, I also like my uniform. Go to hell, you piece of shit. You know, that kind of thing. I'm not rude. I'm not rude to waiters because you never know what they could do to your food in the kitchen. So I'm always nice to them.
Yes.
I'm never rude to people who are doing a service for me at the petrol station or in a shop or whatever. But I would be terrible at their job. So I respect that's their thing. They probably are way better at it than I would ever be, and I will tip them accordingly. So I go in, I need to buy something or get something or do something, and they can help me. I'm never going to be rude to them. So in return, like, if you do a really good job, I'll tip you properly. That's all. Keep it simple. I'm not looking for a long-term relationship here. I'm not going to become your best friend, but I'm never going to be rude to you. Clementine says, there's one beggar I often see at a train station near my city. He always begs for transport money. Seems like he targets foreigners. He even carries an English note with him. Vincent says, you guys think you have problems with beggars. Come to Perth. You might be called a cheap cunt for not giving the beggar a dollar. I think my name is Cheap Cunt. I don't give them all shit. Yo. So they're actually, like, they'll swear at you. There was this white beggar.
Entitled much?
There was this white beggar who, he went up to my mom's car. She told me the story. And he's like, can I please have 5 rand or whatever? My mom's like, no, sorry, I don't have 5 rand. He's like, fuck you. So we do get we do get some of those. Yeah, he's like, F you. So you do get some rude beggars. Like, they're really rude. Stone Philosopher says, what pisses me off is when someone comes to beg while I'm eating. Well, that's a good time for them to strike, right? Because then you probably feel worse because your mouth is full of food and they're like, I'm so hungry. It's all...
Like, that's happened.
It's emotional manipulation. Yeah.
It is. It's happened to me before at KFC in Lakeside years ago when we were eating at the outdoor area and there was literally a beggar just standing there outside staring at us this just for hours. We're there for about an hour and a half, and the whole time he was just standing there watching us eat. And I didn't know what to do. My parents are just like, ignore him. I'm like, I can't focus on my food.
So I've experienced something similar, but it wasn't with a beggar. So a friend and I were at a park, and we decided to just hang out at a park. We had the blankets, had some snacks, had some drinks, you know, all cozy, all nice. And somebody that we know actually walked past, and then we greet, and then he just stands in the distance, just staring at us, like, for the longest of time. So after some time, we're like, yo, my guy, what's up? And he's just like, can I just have some food? Can I have some drinks? And we're like,
oh boy,
hello, yo, oh my word. And we just didn't know what to do at the time, because it's like, we can't exactly say no and say no to the food, because here it is in abundance. So we gave him some, and then walked away. But it was so awkward. We were just like, okay. No,
but at least he walked away when you gave him some. My worry would be that he would stay. That would be even
worse.
Why
were you watching us in the first? It was just so creepy. It was just,
well, the guy was
like someone looking at you eat, and it's like,
can you imagine how hungry you have to be to do that?
Like, that is just,
we do have,
I've been followed before.
Listen, we have desperate people in this country. We must never forget that. And it doesn't even boil down to rude. For some of these people, it's like, if I don't get something in my stomach today, I'm going to die. And they feel that way.
But when it's someone you know who kind of lives down the road from you, it's kind of a bit like, what's going on? Like, what's going on at home? Like, this is not concerning. But yo, we were just like, oh,
yeah,
okay, here you go. And we kept it moving. It was very weird.
Tabo says, waiters are mean to me because I'm ugly, but they're always nice to my wife. I hate beautiful people.
It's called pretty privilege.
That's exactly right.
And it works.
Gareth, have you made something nice in the air fryer yet? No, I haven't, because I'm waiting. Lebang did send me we said air fryer, so we have to say like and subscribe, because that's the rule. So everybody, I'm sorry to do this, but somebody asked about the air fryer. Like and subscribe, please. You know how to do that. Get involved ASAP. We need to get those numbers up, so, you know, do it. The algorithm will love you for it. So no, I haven't, but Lebang did send me a recipe for chicken, which I'm going to try out at some point. I just got to, you know, I'm not a big chef, so in case you didn't know, it's only something I talk about all the time. It's not a strength of mine, so I'm not in a hurry to do that stuff. Okay, here. Carla says, getting worries about your diet. Waffles at Spur, KFC in the park. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you want to treat yourself, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's not an everyday thing. It's an every now and then thing.
How about G-Star says, how about those guys in the back of Buc-ee's and trucks that stare into your soul in the traffic? So awkward. Have you ever been, and I think this happens to women more than men, but if you're sitting in your car and you're in traffic and one of these Buc-ee's or trucks has got all these guys on the back, and then they look at you, they're like, you in your car.
Yes.
Right?
They look at you and they start hitting on you and they're like, namba, kupa namba,
can I have your namba? You see, it's worse for women. It's worse for women, yeah.
I promise you, that's what they do. It's the most awkward thing ever. But it's even worse when, like, you're driving, and then as you're driving and you get to the robot, there's a guy who's still trying to hit on you. He's just like, oh, you're so beautiful. Can I get your number? Like, what's your number? And you're just like, mates, you see me for all of 2 seconds. Let's keep it moving. It is awkward. Awkward.
Well, Mash, you're our serial dater on the show. I mean, you go on more dates than anybody I've ever met. But have you ever, because I've often thought about this, you know, these people who buy these expensive cars, especially guys, because they think it'll it'll impress women. Have you ever had anyone like hit on you in traffic? Or have you ever hit on anyone in traffic? You ever seen someone really hot in traffic and you're like, hey, over here. Has it ever happened? Because it's never happened to me.
No.
That's why I always
Never happened to me either.
I wonder about these people. Like, I heard this story about this, and I don't believe it. I think it's total bullshit. About this guy who was in traffic and he saw this beautiful girl, like, behind him in the rearview mirror. So he, like, sticks, and they're all moving very slowly because there's a lot of traffic. So he, like, sticks his hand out and waves at her. She, like, waves back. And then he takes, like, his business card and he puts it down on the ground. He opens his door. Like, while the traffic's moving slowly, he puts his business card on the ground and rolls forward. And then she opens her door and picks it up and, like, phones him. Someone told me that happened to them.
Oh, that's,
I think it's bullshit.
That's very, like, believable. No,
that sounds very bullshitty.
It sounds bullshitty,
right? Let me tell you. You know why? Because that's something very similar has happened to me. So this is what happened. Mm. I was driving, minding my business on the highway, and there was an accident. So now there's like this backlog. Right. And obviously everyone's moving at like really, really slow. And so there was this really fancy car right next to me. And he looks at me and I'm like listening to music, minding my business, like, whoa, yes. And he smiles. I see him. I'm like, oh. Hi, I wave. And then, like, as we move forward, he kind of was like, oh, can you just go to the, you know, the island? And then he just proceeds to go to the island. And then he kind of writes, like, hey, can I get your number? And he put, like, his number on there. So that's very believable because
so it happened to you, huh?
And it happens, like, yeah.
Wow.
Like, guys will hit, when I say guys will hit on you on the road as you're driving, they will do that. Like, they will get your attention. And the minute they've gotten your attention, the minute you're like, it's tickets, it's done.
Was this in the East Rand?
Yes.
Of course, yeah. Only they have the guts. Only they have the guts to do such crap.
East Rand people.
Yeah.
The essence says it sounds like the start of a porn movie.
Who's going to stop on an island to go poke to a stranger? Who has the time for that? Yeah. Makes a lot of sense.
Especially if there's an accident and there's traffic.
Mash,
and
you're already jealous because it hasn't happened to you.
Well, it's definitely not happened to me either. So I'm with Mash.
I don't want it to happen to me, Simpuacha. Mm-hmm. That is just very disturbing.
I will admit this only works if you are a good looking gent and have a really nice car. Because the first thing I noticed
ugly people
was the
have
car.
No chance.
Then
right?
I was like, okay. Yeah. Ugly, and then I was like,
ugly
are you
and
pretty?
Poor.
Are you nice? Can I?
Ugly and poor is not even a starter for you.
Yes. Pretty privilege is a real thing, especially amongst men. Pretty men can get away with a lot of things from what I've seen.
But I always say there's no ugly billionaire. There's no ugly millionaire. Money makes you very, very handsome. I promise you.
You know how people talk, talk about white privilege, or they talk about, you know, having like lots of money and all of that stuff's fair and good, but no one ever talks about pretty girl privilege. Pretty girl privilege is the most valuable privilege in the world. You can get anything from men because it's different for men. If you're a good looking guy, sometimes you can get something out of someone, sometimes you can't, but it depends also on who you're talking to. But with women, good looking women, man, they can open doors that nobody else can open. Just because they look good.
And you need to know how to use it. Like, I always say to my friends, like, when we go out sometimes, it's just like, sometimes that extra smile will get you into an area that you can't even get into, you know? Mm-hmm. And you're just like, hi, how are you? And they're like, okay, what do you want? You're like, can we get to the VIP? And they're like, okay. Everybody's, you know? So it's just about the smile. And then you just have to do a young caress now and again. You're like, you're so nice. Done. And that's
it. You better enjoy that, Simpiwe, because according to Vincent, you're going to hell faster than all of us for not helping the needy.
She won't give the people on the street money, but she'll stop on an island to go meet a stranger. How?
Right.
That could be my future husband. Guys, imagine if that was like how I met my future husband. That sounds so romantic. You know? I'm not meeting no future somebody by donations.
Well, all right. Let's look at some headlines quickly this morning. the timeliness of leading Mkhwebane to suspension points to Cyril Ramaphosa not doing his job. This is what people are saying. So the Western Cape High Court has been hearing arguments from Ramaphosa's lawyers and from the Democratic Alliance against Busisiwe Mkhwebane, challenging her suspension. Apparently, the Western Cape High Court heard arguments from them, and they are saying that advocate Busisiwe Mkhwebane's suspension is actually all about Cyril not doing his job. This is what her lawyers are saying. His lawyers are saying this woman is incompetent, she needs to go. Former state security boss Arthur Fraser brought to light how the president had millions in foreign currency stolen from his Palapala farm in Limpopo. The DA was party to Tuesday's matter because the motion for a parliamentary inquiry into Mkhwebane's fitness was brought by Chief Whip Natasha Mazzoni. The party's lawyer, Stephen Budlander, has presented a timeline to the court showing how Ramaphosa initiated her suspension in March already, when he asked her to give reasons why she should not be suspended. He further points out how Mkhwebane in May responded and how the revelations in Palapala were made only in June. So they're saying it has nothing to do with the president going through whatever he's going through at the moment. This is all about her. She took too long to respond. He says this showed the president was only doing his job by suspending the public protector. Budlander also said holding Ramaphosa accountable for the farm saga should not be above this whole situation with Mkhwebane and her impeachment hearing. So what do you think of that? I mean, I just can't believe that anyone like
this, he didn't do that.
I can't believe there are people who are like supporting Busisiwe Mkhwebane. That's what I don't get. That's the part I'm confused by. I'm like, okay, you know, this, she's been really, really shitty at her job. Like Shamila Batoy, the public prosecutor, they've both been really terrible at their job, but there's still people out there who will defend them. That's what's amazing, right? You can get away in certain jobs with doing a really bad job and people will just, it's okay, pass it on. The Lesotho government has dropped the murder charges against their ex-prime minister. Do you remember this story? This was a big story when it happened. And
I remember this.
Went away quite quickly. So Lesotho on Tuesday dropped murder charges against the country's former Prime Minister Thomas Thabane and his wife over the 2017 killing of his previous estranged wife, Lipolelo. Prosecutors told the court hearing in the capital of Maseru that the decision was taken as they could no longer locate a key witness. Oh, that's convenient. Mm-hmm. We have been unable to trace an important witness in this matter, and the Director of Public Prosecutions has decided to withdraw the charges against the accused. Thabane, who's 83.
Where's the witness?
Exactly.
It sounds so fishy. Like, what? The witness, just one witness that they needed. Gone.
Yeah. Gone.
So Thabane, the former Prime Minister Thabane, who's 83 years old, was accused of hiring hitmen to kill his former wife in June 2017, 2 days before his inauguration. The pair had been embroiled in bitter divorce proceedings. Both the former premier and his current wife, whom he married 2 months after she was killed, 2 months, have denied any involvement in the murder. This is too... they shouldn't get away with this. What do you think? I mean, this sounds to me...
They can't get away with this.
Well, they're going to.
But the witness is gone.
The witness is gone.
The witness is gone.
Well, they've pretty much gotten away with it at this point. But so they had no other evidence apart from...
They needed this witness. This
witness's testimonial.
And now suspiciously they've disappeared. But look at these two. Look at this former Prime Minister and his current wife. Tell me they don't look a little bit suspicious. Look at those two.
Even that look. I'm so scared.
Look
he's
at the
just
look
like,
they're giving.
Don't mess
picture.
With me.
The new wife.
Yes, he's just like, don't. The new, and she's just like,
yes, that new wife is like, yeah, I'm coming for you. I'll take you. I'll get you as well. Anyway, so that's going on. That story has not gone away. I'm glad it hasn't gone away. You shouldn't be allowed to get away with this stuff. All right, and South African banks are at high risk of money laundering, terrorist financing, and a whole lot of other huge risks, according to a regulator. South Africa's banking regulator said there's a high risk of money laundering and terrorist financing activity, citing the extensive use of cash and exposure to overseas lenders. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but I've seen a huge increase in the amount of spam and phishing stuff in my email. Like massive, massive amounts of spam email. Have you also been getting this?
It's massive at the moment.
Yes. Yeah.
So a lot of it going on,
even
right?
Even SMSs that are just like, you've won this, you've gotten this, da-da-da-da-dees. And I'm like, no, guys. Like, I've not signed up to any competition.
Right.
So I'm not clicking anything. But I think it's just because everybody wants money, guys. Like, even me, I'm 5'2 quarter to just trying these things just to make money.
Hey, awesome, Peewee.
Well, Simpiwe, you're a crook. That's fine. That's your business. But you want to be crooked. That's up to you. We are not going to fall for your crap. But it is amazing to me. Like, there's a lot of these scammers, and they often have these ridiculous email addresses. So if you see something like for example, the company banks with one of the banks, I bank with another bank. And then the two that we don't bank with, the two major banks, because they're four big ones, right? Those two are always sending me, the two that I don't bank with at all and that the company doesn't bank with, those are the two who are always sending me emails about my balance and shit. And I'm like, obviously it's bullshit.
Hey, bull.
Right.
Yes.
And it's not from the banks, it's from scammers, but it looks legit. And I wonder, because we've spoken about these scams before and how many people get caught out, and it can happen, hey? Can happen to a lot of, and if you're desperate, and also if you don't read the email properly, or if you're old and you easily made to part with your money, or you're told that there's someone who's looking after you, or someone else is logging in on your behalf, you know, a lot of old people don't know what they're doing in some of these situations, and they get taken for everything they've got. You've got to be extra vigilant at the moment. There's so much going on the internet. Terrible, terrible stuff.
And scammers usually play on your greed. That's always their go-to point. They usually play on your greed. And how they do that is by actually offering you something. There's always an offer. There's always, you've won money. There's money waiting for you in this account.
Yes.
All you have to do is just send us an email and so forth. And when you're desperate, you are so greedy that you don't even look at the email address it's from. You don't even double check this information.
No, because you think, I've won the Ghanaian lotto. Well, Corona's Boring says, I gave a Ghanaian prince his $250,000. My gold is coming tomorrow in the mail. Yeah, good luck. That's great.
Okay.
Gary says, in the last 2 weeks, I've got a text and two emails about inheritance, even one from Alfred Hitchcock.
Wow. Look at you.
Listen, there was an email in my inbox on Monday. It's like, thank goodness we've located you. Your great uncle has died, leaving a huge fortune. And I'm like, I know this is just bullshit, right? It's obviously bullshit, because I actually know who my relatives are, for starters. And even though there's some part of me that's like, ooh, but what if it's true? You know, let me find out more. It's just a scam. Don't fall for this stuff, anybody. Theron says, if you were in banking and you're forced to bank with that bank in order to get paid, ooh, is that what happens? So you have to work for the bank. I mean, you have to bank with the bank you work for if you work for one of them.
Yes, but most people I know who do work in banking just open an account with the bank just so they can get their salary in there, but they continue using another bank.
Yeah, but that makes sense. It's like if you work at a car dealership, like, you know, and you're the executive, why are you driving a Mercedes when you work for VW?
It makes sense.
How dare you?
I think that makes sense. But also on this spam thing, like, people also need to look out on their DMs, because that's how they're also targeting people.
Instagram
messages
is
about your account.
Have you received
either your account is something wrong,
because you guys have got
something like that.
You guys have got quite a few followers on social media. I mean, especially, you know, as you're growing them, like, MASH, you've got lots. You're an influencer, right? So you get these messages.
Yeah.
And then people are like, we would really like to collaborate with you. And then I always send them an email address. And then they say, oh, no, we don't deal on email. We only do it. And then I'm like, no, well, then there's no deal. Then don't worry about it.
And it happens a lot on Instagram. And nowadays, the biggest scam on Instagram are these Instagram competitions where you get DM'd something like, give me a word quickly that starts with H and ends with K. And you're like, hook. Then you say hook. And then they're like, okay, awesome. You've won yourself 2,000 Rand. Please send me your email address for Instagram pay. And I'm like, what on earth is Instagram Pay?
No such
And then
thing.
Basically what they do is they use your email address. They're going to send you a link, mm-hmm. and then they're going to actually make you log into your Instagram there for Instagram Pay in inverted commas.
Oh.
And then you're going to get an SMS, which is your verification code, of course, if you have two-factor authentication on. Uh-huh. And then they're going to be like, oh, please send us that number as well quickly just so that we can actually process your payment.
Right.
And then you send them that and then poof, account gone. And usually what they do in this case is if you want your account back, they'll make you record a video saying something along the lines of, oh, you want to win lots of money, or do you want to make money selling crypto? All you have to do is just follow the link in my bio or whatever. And they actually take that video, put it on your profile, and nobody knows at this point that your account was hacked. And they tell you that, yeah, to get your account back, you have to take a video of yourself saying the script.
The minute
you do that,
I believe you, because the minute I see any of my friends, like I'm not talking about people that you've never met that are on, that you follow, but friends of mine, the minute I see, and this happened to someone the other day, the minute I see that they're like pushing some product, but not, it's always a financial product. There's like, do you want to invest in gold, or do you want to buy cryptocurrency, or do you want to trading in currencies, talk to me. That's when I know that someone's either hacked them or I shouldn't be their friend anymore. I'm out.
Yes.
Gone.
Mm. Yes. The main thing that actually gives it away now is as soon as a profile posts a screenshot of a lock screen with a bank notification and it says 75,000 rand in or something like that, it's over for them. Just say your goodbyes, and then they'll DM you telling you, hey, I was actually entered into some competition. Please vote for me. You just have to log in here to vote. And you're like, they're gone.
Yeah.
It's chai for them. It's over. Write them off.
Well, but what's worse is once they've hacked into Mash's account, then they'll start sending emails to his followers. So you think Mash is the one like asking you. So if Mash sends me like a DM, I'll be like, oh, okay. Like it'll be like, oh, please help me with XYZ. You don't think much of it because you're like, oh, this is Mash. I know Mash.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
And that's also another way they get more people kind of like hooked onto this, because you trust the person that's DMing you, but no, it's not him.
Well, I mean, you do have to give credit to these guys. Like they're working out better and better ways of getting hold of your money. Mm. And some of them are very clever. Corona's Boring says, I love replying to those emails from people who say I've got a long lost relative. So Corona's Boring replies, oh my God, when did he die? Where is the funeral? How's Jane doing? You know, you got to ask the important questions. That's a way to deal with it, I'm telling you.
Time.
I used to reply, Marahish, the time.
No,
time
it takes two. I did it one morning just for fun because I had an extra 15 minutes. And I think I read it on the show. And then the guy replied, or the girl, or the scammer replied. It's like, no, man, don't be silly. We're trying to help you out with all of this money that is yours or what. So they kept trying. So they obviously have no sense of humor either. They're just stupid.
Mm.
You know,
they are.
I can't wait for the day, because there's going to be a day soon where machines can pretend to be human. And they're going to be.
Yes. No, you know where the danger is.
It's coming. It's coming. And then you're going to be like, you think you're talking to a person, but you're actually talking to a machine. And it's going to be sending you automatic replies. Can you imagine how that's going to hit people when it comes to like relationships? Because there's so many lonely people in the world who are desperate to be with somebody, to get a little bit of love, to get a little bit of attention from somewhere. Right? Yeah. And then the machine is responding like, oh, I just saw your profile picture. You're really beautiful. I would love to meet you. I've been single now for 3 years, blah, blah, blah. You imagine how many people are going to fall for that stuff. And once the machine is convincing enough to make people think that it's for real, imagine. Well, no.
I'm sorry. That sounds amazing to me.
They're going
to
drain your
account. You're going to see a story.
Sounds amazing.
Someone, I got married to Instagram. I got married to a bot.
Yeah.
I got married to the, we're going to see those stories. People get married to the most weirdest things.
There's that one woman I read about who married a bridge. Last year, she got married to a bridge.
Ooh.
Yeah, she fell in love with and got married to a bridge. So, I mean, they're going...
A whole building as well. There's a lot of these crazy people.
Crazy people.
Do crazy things. Mm. And so the minute there's a bot talking to them or like a robot and they're like, this is true love. I promise you they're going to marry that app. They're going to be like, this is the only way I can communicate.
The only reason why I actually would like that is because it gets overwhelming sometimes. I mean, I chat with a lot of people. I mean, hence the dates. I chat with a lot of people all at once.
Yes, we
so
know.
For me, it'll actually help me better manage my communication with all these people. So, I mean, last week I was dumped by someone actually who I didn't know I was dating. And main reason being, you didn't even say good morning. You just went the whole day without talking to me. I'm like, ha, I'm busy. I can't start every day with good morning. So I actually thought of this during the week, and I thought to myself, wow, imagine if there was like an automation or something on WhatsApp, even on SMS, where I could actually set an automation every day, send good morning automatically to these 10 to 15 people automatically. And of course, they're going to be like, good morning, how are you? Okay, automatically reply to them, I'm good, thanks. Have a busy morning. Imagine. I'll chat with you later. Cool.
You probably could. You could you know how you schedule social media like posts and things?
Yes.
You could probably schedule replies to all these various people that you're dating all at once, Mash.
Yes, that would be amazing.
It's going to end in tears. Let me tell you why. South Africans have not even mastered the art of being able to forward a message on WhatsApp. They'll forward a good morning, my love.
Forward.
I don't think they're going to get
they're forwarded.
So I don't think this is going to work because they're not going to personalize the messages.
But you can.
It's all going to be standard, and that's how you catch them out.
You can automate a lot of things, but I don't know if you can automate love. I don't know if you can automate relationships. The only way it works is if you're actually paying attention. And machines don't pay attention like that. That's not what they're there for. They can put out like replies and stuff.
Remember that when people are in love, they're also a bit doof. Like they don't think quite straight.
Very.
So so you can actually automate a good morning, my love, every single morning, and nobody will catch on. Every single person feels special. I think that would work.
There's probably somebody out there who's figured out a system. You know, like they're these guys who have like one wife in one town and another wife in another town, and they manage to juggle them both. Now, I wonder, there's probably somebody who's using technology to manage two or three relationships at once, keep all those plates spinning. But I think that must be exhausting. It must be so tiring to be doing that. And emotionally draining because we are not built. No matter how much of a player you think you are, we're not built to keep all those plates spinning in the air at the same time. And it's going to catch up with you. Speaking of catching up, it is about damn time we speak to Sean Saunders at Revix. People have been asking for Sean. People have been saying, where is he? Just because Bitcoin is down at $21,000 doesn't mean we don't want to hear from him. So here he is from Revix, our friend Sean Saunders. Hello, Sean. How are you?
Morning, Gareth. Morning, team.
Morning,
I'm good. Calling in from London today. How are you all doing today?
Ah, very good. So how's London, first of all?
It is boiling hot. I mean, Revix has been expanding to Dubai, and I'm going to have to get used to this heat. Like, London is, like, it's like the Middle East for every reason, right? So you've got, like, a lot of the UAE here, and it's cooking hot.
So listen, it's good to see you, because there's been a lot happening since we last checked in with you, and people, you know how everybody loves a conspiracy theory, so some people are like, oh, well, Sean's just ignoring us because he doesn't want to talk about the current crypto market, but that's exactly what you want to talk about, and it's exactly what people want to hear about. So what do you think is happening? Because it came down quite dramatically, and it's been hovering around $22,000 for a while now. Why is there no movement, Sean? What's happening? Is it stultified and hot like London, or is there something going on that we don't know about?
Well, I mean, this has been, wow, in terms of a sell-off, it's been one of the most brutal sell-offs we've ever seen. Mm. You saw the likes of Celsius, you saw the likes of Babel Finance, Voyager Digital, so a lot of crypto bankruptcies that took place. And that was sort of contagion that happened within the space. There was a lot of forced selling, and it's just a thing across the board, like incredible speculation towards the end of last year, then turned to incredible fear earlier this year. And that's sort of been in this market for a while. But it's been a bit of a macro story, because the crypto market's been very correlated to the traditional stock market, certainly sort of the NASDAQ for the course of this year. And I think it'll remain to be quite correlated for as long as we're in this very high inflationary period. And Gareth, I mean, we said this on the show, if we go back 12, 18 months, you know, even into the pandemic sort of times, we said, hey, listen, there's going to be tons of inflation that's going to come. And my assumption was that Bitcoin was going to be a inflation hedge. It may still turn out to be an inflation hedge. Remember, inflation is not done. We're still in the depths of inflation. I mean, seeing 9% inflation in the US is no joke. So I think the crypto markets, you know, it's the highest risk asset class that exists out there. It is seen as essentially like high tech stocks. And yeah, I guess, you know, will the crypto market recover over the long term? I mean, I'm very confident that it will. But over the short term, I think we're going to see a lot of volatility.
All right,
having said that, though, the crypto market has bounced 15% over the last week. So the entire market has seen a bit of a recovery. I just don't know if this will be something that will be continuing.
Well, I mean, a lot of people are very, very nervous now because of this huge sell-off. How has it affected your business? Because you guys essentially, if crypto is doing well, it's good for business, obviously. You know, your net value of the company goes up. I tend to not sell when the market's down because otherwise you actually realize those losses. So while we're all looking at this going, oh, well, it used to be at $60,000. Now it's at $21,000. I've lost so much money. You only realize that loss if you actually sell the asset. And what you just said is that in the long term, you're still bullish about this. I still believe, considering how governments have mismanaged money and fiat currency and how inflation is a direct result of their mismanagement, you still would prefer to be in something where you don't have government overreach and government control. And that's obviously cryptocurrency. There are only a few things in the world that are beyond the control of dirty, greedy politicians. So I would say don't sell, but how has it affected the business?
So, I mean, we are a long-only crypto platform, i.e. when you come to us, you can't short any cryptocurrencies. We have built it so that you buy and then you sell at a later date, and that's how you make money. So, you know, it has made, I suppose, business a little bit more challenging in the sense that people don't trade as much. People don't invest as much. But as you said, people also just sit and they hold. And I guess that's what we've been talking about the entire time on this the podcast, right?
Yeah.
Is we want people to be long-term investors and actually view this as an asset class. So, you know, our bundles have done exactly that. They've kept investors into the crypto market over an extended period of time. I think that this has also been an interesting period because the guys and girls that came to crypto and that just wanted to make a quick buck, they're out, right? Mm-hmm. They sold a while ago. They're not holding on now. So you've actually got fundamentally almost a cleaner and better crypto market as a result. A lot of the speculative sort of leverage and all the rest has been removed from the space. So that's been good to see. And I also think, you know, Gareth, you're talking about, you know, sort of non-sovereign digital currency. Then that's more like sort of Bitcoin. That's more Bitcoin Cash. That's Litecoin. So there's a select group of cryptocurrencies that are looking to become sort of digital non-sovereign money. You've then got the likes of Ethereum and a whole bunch of other cryptocurrencies that are doing things that are very different, right? I mean, decentralized finance is the space we spoke about on the podcast before as well. It's grown so much. And I mean, this is a sector that really will be the future of finance in some way, shape or form. We've got an investable option on Revix for you to actually get exposure to the sector. It's a DeFi bundle, but that's just one area that's really exciting. So, you know, we kind of lump crypto together and we say, hey, all of this is very similar to Bitcoin. But when you look under the hood, there's a lot of different things going on and the market is actually quite developed.
Your market's also pretty developed. I mean, you've got that US dollar coin, which would have been a good buy. I think the dollar's at 17 Rand or something at the moment. So if you'd bought some of that, you're probably doing a lot better than if you had your money in Rands, considering it's gone up in dollars. It's also, I mean, like anything at the moment, people aren't really sure what to do with what little money they have, because there was this huge glut of money that was just printed and put out onto the market by governments like Joe Biden's in the US. And obviously that money has dried up now. And a lot of people put that into stocks and a lot of people put it into crypto, and they've lost that money because they then decided to cash out on a loss.
They have. And actually, that was what I was going to get to as well when you asked sort of how's business been, because we have got a variety of products that aren't just speculative, focused on the crypto space. Mm. So if you're wanting to, let's say, buy our USDC coin, and it's not a coin that we've listed. I mean, USDC coin is one of the or USD coin is probably one of the largest stable coins, the second largest stable coin actually in existence. But if you wanted to buy that on Revex right now, we've actually got a zero fee promotion. So you can go along, you can buy that, you can essentially remove your exposure from rands, move into dollar exposure. And I mean, through our savings vault, you can earn 9.25% a year, right? I mean, that's higher than any bank in South Africa. And you know, if you're wanting to learn more about how we generate those yields and the risks involved and all the rest, I mean, by all means, reach out to our team. We've got 24/7 support. We're not like other lenders within the space. You're not taking your dollar stable coins and going and lending it to risky parties and all the rest. There's in South Africa a really great opportunity to actually earn yield on this. And that's really another area that we focused. We've also got PAXG, right? So Paxos Gold is a gold-backed token. And gold has sort of been, you know, one of these things that you would expect in a recession like we are supposed to be entering now to perform really well. And it hasn't performed really well because the dollar's been really strong. So there could be an investment opportunity there. So if you're interested in getting some, you know, gold, this is actually a token that is backed by physical gold held in London Drinks vaults. We can offer that on the platform. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of different things that I suppose we've launched over the last few years. So you can head over to www.revex.com if you want to learn more about that.
Beautiful. Go and check it out. And if you want to know more, you can also follow them on social media at Revex Invest, R-E-V-I-X Invest. And for more information, head over to Revex.com. As Sean says, it's the smart way to invest in crypto and in gold and in dollars, if that's what you want. So thanks again for the update, Sean. We will catch up with you in a short while. But keep us informed as to what's going on. And hopefully we get some good news in crypto soon, because people have been sitting going, for a very long time.
Yeah. We've been here before, Gareth. Like, we're in dad zoom out, right?
I know, but I'm still smiling. The biggest problem is that we have short memories. That's all.
We do.
We forget very quickly. All right. Yeah. Thanks, Sean. There we go. There's Sean Sanders from Revex. That also brings us to 7 o'clock. Coming up after 7 o'clock, decided I wanted to play for you an interview that I did just a couple of days ago with a guy called Alan Mendoza, who... it's fascinating. He runs a think tank in London. He's the founder and executive director of the Henry Jackson Society, and they have a global outlook on all of their issues. They also advise all kinds of people, important politicians, people who are massive investors and so on. They direct analysis, research focus, strategy, and development. And they talk about all of these things. We talk about it, he and I. The conversation touches on, among other things, Boris Johnson, the Russia and Ukraine crisis, China, the political left and right, free speech, and even a little bit about South Africa. So stick around for that and a whole lot more. It's coming up just after the break. CliffCentral.com on a Wednesday morning. CliffCentral.com.